Oh, what's up? Welcome to Kind of Funny Games Daily for Monday, September 28th, 2020. I'm one of your hosts, Blessing Adeoye Jr. Joining me is Tim Ma-fucking Geddes.
Let Tim host. How you doing, Bless?
Tim, I'm doing pretty good. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. You know, I'm actually stoked about the week. Sometimes it's, you know, it's Sunday night. You're like, oh, I don't want to have to work tomorrow.
I got to wake up.
And I was like, I'm feeling good about this week. Like, let's get into it. Let's talk about some video games. Let's have a good time.
I'm really excited to talk about some video games. Before I get there, though, I do want to bring up this last weekend. I watched this this documentary on Netflix called The Social Dilemma. Have you seen this, Tim? Have you checked it out?
But I heard about it. Everyone is ranting and raving about it.
It is. It's frightening. Like, for those who don't know, it's essentially a whole documentary basically about all the things that we already know and understand about social media and how it works and how it manipulates us and all the stuff that I think we've assumed slash seen slash experienced, but all contextualized in a way where it's like, oh yeah, this is scary, isn't it? Like, you really think about it and you're like, oh, this is fucked up. I highly recommend like anybody go check it out, because ever since watching it too, I've like tried to limit my own, I've been doing this in general where I try to limit my social media usage, but especially after watching that, I was like, every time I've logged into Twitter, I'm like, oh, I shouldn't be here right now. Like, I I'm doing some shit and it's going to be manipulating me. But yeah, it's one that I recommend people check out, because it was legit like a really, really, really good watch. And no, so I'm making that homework for you.
A quick thing for you, Bless. Kevin recommended me a show a couple months ago called Penis. It's been spelled out Pen 15.
Dude, I love Pen 15.
And yeah. We just finished season 2, and it's quite the show. I don't know that I can say, you know what? Here, I do love it. I don't know that it's that good.
But it's not called Penis, Tim. It is called Pen 15.
It's called Penis.
No, it's not. It's Pen 15.
I call it Pen 15.
Everyone calls it Pen 15.
That's because you guys are afraid to say the word penis.
No, I love saying
I am
that
afraid, yes. Word. It is well documented. I am afraid of dick.
So there you go.
Yeah. But Kevin, Pen 15, I adore Pen 15. I'm still, I haven't watched season 2 yet, though.
The pitch on Penis is that there's these two female comedians that are probably, no, they're my age. They actually are my age, like 31. But they're acting as if they're in seventh grade in the year 2000, whatever it was, like 2002, 2003, 2004, around there. But all the other kids are actually in seventh grade.
Yes.
So it's like,
they're acting alongside.
That are acting alongside a whole bunch of seventh graders. And it is.
And it is one of the most
cringiest thing I've ever seen.
Yes.
But like in the best way.
It is awkward humor. It is cringy humor. It is all the humor that I absolutely love and adore. Everybody should go watch Pen 15 on Hulu. And so those are your two assignments. Watch Pen 15 and then watch The Social Dilemma. Two very different things. Tim, neither of those are video games, however. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about some video games, because today's stories include Xbox Series X previews being up, that rumored Mass Effect collection getting delayed, and more, because this is Kind of Funny Games Daily, each and every weekday at 10 a.m. live right here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. If you're watching live and correct us when we get stuff wrong by going to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. If you don't want to watch live, you can watch later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, or you can listen later on podcast services around the globe by searching for Kind of Funny Games Daily. To be a part of the show, at the patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, or bronze members or above get to write in, and silver members or above get the show ad free with the exclusive daily post show. Housekeeping: Donktober, that's right, Donk spelled with a K, Tober, begins this Saturday. It's gonna be me and Barrett. We're gonna be playing through the entirety of Donkey Kong 64, one of me and Barrett's favorite games ever. You can catch that happening live every Saturday this month, starting at noon Pacific time, and then later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames if you want to join in on the fun. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Tom Bach, Mom and Muhammad, and Blackjack. Today we're brought to you by Upstart, Hims, and Logitech, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. It's time for some news. We have four stories today. Now, who's the one mucking around in the dock? Are y'all?
This is a new number one story. Just real quick, Kevin, can you look at the Roper Report? All right. And there's two words that I want you to read. Do you see what I'm talking about?
Kevin, are you in the dock?
Yeah.
You go to story number one. Go above story number one.
Look,
read
I understand.
Read those words.
Kevin and boobies.
On the dock, I spelled out K3VIN and B00B13S. You're not saying that that's K3VIN, and you're not saying it's B00B13S.
He has a point.
It's penis, you guys. It's penis.
He's making a
point. What's the first story?
He's making a point. Story number one, Xbox Series X hands-on previews are up as of this morning. As y'all know, Xbox, they sent out a bunch of Xbox Series X's to media professionals. They've gotten their hands on. They've been playing them over the weekend and the last week. And their previews are finally available. So I've assembled basically the Avengers of video games writers for this. I got folks from IGN. I got folks from GameSpot. I got folks from VentureBeat. And I'm going to go through some of the write-ups people have to say. Some of the things people have to say about Xbox Series X. So I'm going to start off with Ryan McCaffrey at IGN, who writes this. First, a word on the console itself. It is hefty, but in a good way. When you hold it, it feels like a premium $500 thing for whatever that's worth. When you turn it on, the box makes the same startup chime the Xbox One family of consoles do, and I'm a bit disappointed in that, honestly. I get the consistency,
but... It's a nice sound, though.
It is a nice sound, but you want that new-new, you know? You want that new-new. So I get what Ryan McCaffrey's saying here. I get the consistency, but I'd have liked a new sound. While I'm speaking subjectively, I think the Series X also looks very nice in its vertical orientation. It looks bold and assertive in your entertainment center with the concave, green-tinted vent perforations on the top, adding a really nice visual appeal. I can't say the same when it's laying on its side. It looks more like a fireplace log. More importantly, this thing is quiet. It's almost inaudible when it's idle, and in Red Dead Redemption 2, for instance, it's still pretty quiet, much more so than the Xbox One X, which gets noticeably louder under full GPU load.
Thank God. That gets me so stoked.
That gets me so stoked, too, especially because this last weekend I stole Greg Miller's PlayStation 4 Pro from the office along with the TV in the office so I can get that true 4K experience, and that thing is loud, dude. Thing sounds like a lawnmower. I didn't realize that. I knew my base PS4 got loud. I didn't know that PS4 Pros got that loud. It's wild.
They all do, man. The thing that I'm most excited about with these new consoles coming up is hoping that there's a chance that they're quieter. And I love that at least so far, it is.
Yes.
It's a good thing to hear.
Just to be clear, though, with the PS4 Pro that he's using in the studio, he's using that one at the studio because it got loud. And he switched it out for one that he had.
Okay.
So that one is louder than some PS4s can be.
Gotcha. Kevin has his PS4 on right now.
Yeah,
that's my vacuum. Everyone knows K2SO is running right now.
I love that you call your vacuum K2SO, like your Roomba. You know, that's a really good name for it. And actually, while we're on this topic of like how it looks with Brian McCaffrey's write up here, folks know I'm roommates with Michael Hyam from GameSpot. Michael Hyam, one of the folks who's had an Xbox Series X, so I can give the scoop. That thing looks great, like vertically. Like it is hefty. It is pretty heavy. Like it is like a hefty piece of technology. Mm-hmm. But anytime I've gone into the living room, that thing has been virtually silent. And like, yeah, that thing looks great. Like the perforated top with the green accents there looks really nice. I can't imagine that thing on its side because it, like what Ryan McCaffrey references here, right? Like on the side, it would look really awkward. Like, that's kind of my take on it. I don't know why anyone would have to have that on the side, aside from, like, space, right? Like, I get, like, in a situation where it's, like, we
it's
only
so
have so much room for
it's
this
so
thing.
It's so heartbreaking. I only have so much height for mine.
Yeah, which is the thing that sucks, but...
It's also like, just an aesthetic thing. Like, I'm struggling to think about where I'm going to put mine, because I also think it's going to look ridiculous horizontal. But vertical, I just think it's going to stand out and just be weird. So, we'll see.
Yeah, I'm scared... With both this and the PS5, like how they look, for people who are going to get both, because the PS5 and all of the different comparisons and mockups we've seen of that thing seems huge, like it seems abnormally big, like stylish and sleek and like, you know, it has a cool futuristic thing going for it, but it seems big. And so like trying to figure out how that is going to fit in your entertainment center next to a Series X, or at least in the same entertainment center as a Series X, I think it's going to be a challenge for some people because those two things are very different designs, very different boxes. And so good luck on that, folks.
Struggle is real.
The struggle is real. Jeff Grubb at VentureBeat has this to say. My overall takeaway is that Xbox Series X should instantly improve the quality of many games in your library. However, many games that have locked frame rates or resolutions likely won't see much of an improvement to traditional rendering. They will, however, see improvements like machine-created HDR. But the improvements of the Xbox Series X go beyond the rendering capabilities of the AMD CPU and GPU. The next-gen PCIe 4.0 NVMe SSD is absolutely the star of the show in these early tests. A lot of letters. Mm-hmm. Loading games from your library is faster. Loading your save file is faster. The console boots up in an instant. Navigating the interface is blisteringly speedy. This is simply a better console to use than anything we've had since 2013. And anyone who plays on a console every day probably won't regret that $500 pre-order.
Hell yeah, man. That gets me so excited because like it is the little things where there's going to be a while where we're not exclusively playing next-gen games on our next-gen consoles. We're going to be playing end-of-this-gen games on the next-gen consoles. And all these little things, like, I can't wait to see how fast Tony Hawk loads. Tony Hawk's loading, not a problem, but there's a lot of it because when you're switching through levels back and forth, like, I'm at the point that I'm trying to get all the gaps. So that means I'm switching between levels fairly often. And doing that, there's just that, you know, just enough time for me to bring up my phone. That would be real nice if it wasn't there. And it sounds like that's going to be the case.
Yeah. And that's the thing that a lot of these previews have in common. Like, for the most part, they're all talking about speed and they're all talking about the SSD and how that changes things. Watching Michael, like Michael at a certain point was like, yo, come see this. Like, he was essentially showing the quick resume feature, which I'll get to in a moment because I have a write-up from Michael in here. But he was essentially like, okay, watch me change games real quick. And it was like 5 to 8 seconds from jumping in and out of Final Fantasy 15 into like any other, like, you know, big single player game from where he left off in that game, back to Final Fantasy 15 from where he left off. And that can go up to about 6 different games that you can have like that. And I think it depends on like what games they are and the processing stuff. And like, maybe I don't know, in some cases, maybe it can go above 6 games. Maybe in some cases it has to process below 6 games, depending on what they are. But that's really impressive to even in the off state of the console for it to hold all those individual states at the same time. Like, that's a thing that they've promoted and promoted in the past, but seeing it in action, dude, it's game changing. Like, no pun intended, it is game changing. Especially for folks who are, if you're like me, right, and you like to, and you're playing different multiplayer games. If you're juggling Apex Legends and Overwatch, but then are also playing The Last of Us Part 2, for example, like that was kind of my thing in June. As I was playing that game, you know, I'd stop to play games with friends, and that means that I have to find a save state or figure out like, or even just close the game period so I can switch over to Overwatch. If you're telling me there is a case, like the use case for this is I can be doing whatever in The Last of Us Part 2, get a text from friends to be like, hey, we're going to run a couple matches in Overwatch real quick. I can jump into Overwatch, play a couple games, and then without like finish those games without even loading, jump back into exactly where I was in The Last of Us Part 2 where I paused. That's such a convenient experience that I am very excited for. And Kevin, what's next gen all about? He's running right now. Thank you, Kevin. Thank you. Appreciate that. This is what Tom Warren at The Verge has to say. The most significant and obvious improvement with existing games on the Xbox Series X is the massive changes to load times. I noticed load times drop in pretty much every single game I've tested over the past week. Holy cow. Let me say that again. I noticed load times drop in pretty much every single game I've tested over the past week. Games like Sea of Thieves, Warframe, and Destiny 2 have their load times cut by up to a minute or more on the Series X.
Let me stop you right there real quick, because like that is such a cool thing where these are games that are not manually optimized for this experience. This is just games that you know and are familiar with are just simply running better because they're playing on the Series X. Something I've always been so impressed by that I've talked about it a million times, but the Enhanced for X program that the Xbox One X has always impressed the shit out of me. But even that is them going in and kind of like adding like a patch or adding the ability to have these older games run better. This is now just, there is that stuff still, and we're seeing the benefits of how much work they put into that in the past, like pay off here. But this is also just the system works better to be able to run these games.
Yes, like this is stuff that is happening automatically. And I should also make clear that in these preview units, there are no new games available. Like there are no Xbox Series X games available for press to play right now. These are all impressions based off of backwards compatible games that are available. And even a lot of them aren't available yet because that library is still updating even in the preview cycle. And so, yeah, like for all these games that don't really have any manual optimization done to them that are running at this level and that are seeing these benefits, that's speaking so much positivity in terms of that user experience going into next gen and how that's going to play out. Tom here continues, though. In Destiny 2, for example, I can load into a planet in the game in around 30 seconds compared to over a minute later on an Xbox One X and nearly 2 minutes in total on a standard Xbox One. These improved load times are identical to my custom-built PC that includes a fast NVMe SSD, and they genuinely transform how you play the game. You can get more quests and get tasks done instead of sitting and looking at a planet loading. And then on The Verge, they posted this chart of games and their load times from the Xbox Series X compared to the Xbox One X. And so I'm going to go through this list of games because I think this is a very clear example of how this stuff is playing out. For COD Warzone to load in takes 16 seconds as compared to, and 16 seconds on the Series X compared to 21 seconds on the Xbox One X. Red Dead Redemption 2, 52 seconds on Series X compared to a minute 35 on Xbox One X. The Outer Worlds, 6 seconds on Xbox Series X compared to 27 seconds on Xbox One X. And then you have a few here. I'm going to point out some of the more impressive ones. Sea of Thieves, the load time there took 20 seconds as compared to a minute 21 seconds
on Xbox One X. Over a minute saved.
Over a minute saved. That's exactly the same with Warframe, which took 25 seconds compared to a minute and 31 seconds on Xbox One X. AC Odyssey took 30 seconds to load in on Series X compared to the 1 minute and 7 seconds it took on Xbox One X. And the list goes on. And he points out Destiny 2 took 43 seconds also compared to the 1 minute and 52 seconds.
Holy shit, that on seems Xbox like the, One X. That's the biggest jump there is.
Yeah, which... super impressive, very exciting to see. I have one more write-up I'm going to bring in, and of course it's from the homie Michael Hyam at GameSpot. He writes this: Quick Resume is a literal game changer. Swapping between games takes about 5 to 8 seconds, meaning you'll be right where you paused each game in a fraction of the time it would take to relaunch an entire game and without needing to reload a save. Game states even persists after powering the console off. In conjunction with Game Pass, where I'm often jumping between multiple games I've downloaded anyway, Quick Resume truly shines. The new controller offers some subtle but noticeable improvements over the current Xbox controllers. First is the textured grip on the handles, and to a lesser extent, on the triggers and bumpers. This design choice provides a nice tactile feel that will help prevent slipping, especially for you sweaty folks out there. The dedicated share button is a much welcome feature too, letting you capture screenshots and video clips on the fly, which even works if you connect it to an Xbox One. The new 8-way directional pad is quite clicky and a bit stiff, though it is responsive. And in his article, he went on to say that was like a thing of preference too on whether or not you'll like the directional pad versus the previous directional pad.
The controller is something I'm really interested in because I've been rocking the Elite Series 2 Xbox controller, and I'm a big fan of it. And I was thinking about, like, first off, is there going to be a Series 3 for the Series X?
There's got to be, right?
But, I mean, is it going to be anytime soon or we're going to be waiting a while? The Series 2 wasn't that long ago. So I can kind of see it as they're just going to stick through with this for a while. But I wonder for people that have been using the Series 2, how it compares to this new one. Because that blue controller that showed off, that thing's looking hot.
That thing looks hot. I really want to grab one of those. Sidebarring for a second though, Tim, have you seen these like Sega rumors with Xbox? People were pointing to the blue controller being like, this is obviously for Sonic. People were like pointing to different social posts being like, Microsoft's obviously about to buy Sega. Have you been you've been keeping up with this?
I mean, keeping up with the bullshit? Yeah, totally. But I mean, it's like, come on, man. Come on.
That'd be hilarious. Like that'd be
insane.
It'd be insane. I don't think it's happening. I don't, especially with like the things we were pointing out. Like, I don't think any of those things are indicators that this is happening. Yeah. But that said, like, I'm totally down for a blue controller. Like, that shit looks
fire. Looks so nice, man.
I'm all about it. But yeah, this all seems like really cool stuff for the Xbox Series X. The controller itself, I've not gotten to hold it. And so like I can't really comment on how it feels and stuff, but like to the share button thing, I'm glad they've added that in. Share button is such a fascinating thing because toward the beginning of this last generation, I was kind of just like, oh, what a waste of a button. Uh-huh. And now that we're at the end, I'm like, yeah, dude, put a share button on everything because I love sharing clips online.
I think I saw Jeff Grubb in the chat. So Jeff, if you were able to hold both, well, I know you're using the new controller, but I don't know your experience with the Series 2 Elite controller. You can compare them. Oh, yeah.
Give us some feedback. Give us some feedback. But while you're doing that, Jeff Grubb, let me get into one of your stories that you posted over the weekend. This story number two. Jeffy Grubb. Story number two, the Mass Effect collection is still coming, but not in 2020. This is Jeff Grubb at VentureBeat. Electronic Arts still hasn't revealed Mass Effect Legendary Edition, and that's for a reason. The publisher originally planned to launch the remaster trilogy that I first reported on back in May with an October reveal and release. But now EA and developer BioWare are pushing that release into early 2021, according to people familiar with the development. The primary factor holding up development beyond the pandemic is the original Mass Effect game. It currently does not live up to the quality of the rest of the package. It would make a poor first impression for new players, and it might disappoint fans who then won't go on to play and experience the impressive upgrades for Mass Effect 2 and Mass Effect 3. This is a problem with both the visuals and gameplay. The people working on the game understand the issues, and they want to do right by the franchise's fans. But one aspect those fans won't get to experience, regardless of how much time BioWare gets, is the multiplayer. EA doesn't plan to include the Mass Effect 3 multiplayer in this package. Something like that would turn this remaster into a live service game, and that is likely not worth the investment. Mass Effect Legendary Edition will, however, include all the downloadable content for all three Mass Effect games. This will enable players to get the full experience included in the purchase price. This is, I'm not going to say disappointing, because like they never, this is the thing that Jeff Grubb was kind of pointing out as he was putting out this story, that like, they never announced this thing. Like, they never really came out and said this was happening. And so, like, an internal delay, like, do your thing. Like, take all the time you need on this. You know, something that I'm somewhat looking forward to because I want the chance to be able to jump into Mass Effect. But, yeah, I saw Jeff, like, expressing a little bit of remorse, like, even reporting the initial rumor, you know, because that seems to have put pressure on the team here, which I totally get, and like I totally understand those feelings. But yeah, I don't know, Tim, did you have any feelings on this Mass Effect situation?
Yeah, I mean, I'm interested in what they're going to change to the first game, because you know, there was a pretty drastic shift from one over to two, and then three just kind of continued along that path. I wonder how much they're going to change it. And it's weird because I know that there's a strong contingent of people that prefer Mass Effect 1 over 2 and 3. And I don't think that that's like the majority of people, but I think that there is a strong amount of them. And I wonder at what point do they make too many changes for it to kind of upset people. That, like, this is one of those damned if you do, damned if you don't situations, I think. But personally, I think that this is good that they're taking the time to make sure that they get this right, because Mass Effect cannot have another misstep. Like, Andromeda was like, they're you know, they stumbled a bit. A collection of the games that people actually love, they need to nail it. So,
yeah, I mean, to your point of saying Mass Effect cannot have another misstep, right? Like, I'll even go as far as to say that BioWare needs a win, because like it's been such a rough generation for them. They went from being one of the most celebrated developers of, well, let's say like the PS3, Xbox 360 generation. I know even before that with KOTOR and stuff, to then this generation just having, you know, fail after fail. You know, like Dragon Age Inquisition was great. Like, that was game of the year from IGN. But like post that, yeah, you got Andromeda, which disappointed. You then get Anthem, which disappointed. And it's like, man, y'all are one of the best in the game, and you are not living up to standard. And so I think this could be a really good return to form for them. Seeing that they're treating it with care and are and, you know, the one them or Jeff here mentioning the impressive upgrades for Mass Effect 2 and Mass Effect 3. I'm really curious to see what that is, like what exactly they're talking about there, because that seems fascinating. But seeing that like that wasn't in the case, or that wasn't in the books for Mass Effect 1, or at least maybe the upgrades for Mass Effect 1 comparatively just weren't as big of upgrades for this collection, makes me wonder like what their thought process has been there. But them noticing that and being like, oh no, we got to make one fantastic so that people don't just drop off after that. You know, it's good on them. Like, I understand that. That makes sense.
You can't put out a collection of three games and, you know, make two of them look a lot better than they originally did and just have the first game, you know.
Who would do such a thing?
I just can't imagine. I just can't imagine.
Yeah.
You know, like, I know Mass Effect is all different, but it's like, imagine if they just put out Mass Effect 1 in, you know, 4x3.
Oh my God.
You know, why, like, let's just make it worse.
For Mass Effect, which is like such a storied franchise, Mass Effect, a franchise that people love and adore and that are fans of, and, you know, that's classic. You got to treat it with classic care. You know, you got to treat it like it is something worth of importance.
Anyways,
if you're not able to tell, we're throwing shade at Mario 3D All-Stars right now, which I beat Mario 64 over the weekend.
Look at us, the biggest hypocrites in the fucking world. But it is what it is. They're fucking amazing games. I'm just very disappointed with the whole Mario package.
I'm right there with you too. Though this is what I'll say about Mario 64. I've played it again over this last weekend for probably the 100th time of my life now. I don't know how you remake that game. I don't know exactly like the approach you take to remaking it. Like, because I've very much been on the mind that, like, you got to revisit it, you got to do something with it, you got to, like, give us what we want. There are certain stars and certain challenges that are very much contingent on how that game is designed that I don't know, unless you recontextualize certain stars or rewrite certain parts of, you know, how you're exploring that world. I don't know. I'm sure it's like a Herculean task to try and remake that thing.
I mean, look, I'm not saying it's not a Herculean task, but people have done it. Bless, you need to play the 4K Mario 64 PC version.
Oh, yeah. Well, that I'm totally down for. Like,
that's all they needed to do.
Oh, yeah.
All they needed to do.
I'm definitely right there with you, too, that, like, I want to play this game in 16:9. I want this game to be up-resed. I want it to look polished and beautiful and all that stuff. I also, another part of me also just wants, like, a complete remake. You know, and I'm kind of in between this place of two things.
A complete remake of Mario 64. I don't know. Like, that's make a new Mario game then.
Then here's my pitch, because this is the thing I was thinking a lot about as I was playing through it. You know how we played Mario Odyssey, and this is spoilers for Mario Odyssey. And so if you're like one of those folks who's like, oh, I've not finished the book yet, go and finish the book. Come back to this timestamp. You know how Mario Odyssey, we got to that last world. And it was, or maybe not even the last world, but you get to the Mario's castle, to Peach's castle, I should say, right? And you're like, oh shoot, this is a whole homage to Mario 64. And like, as I got there, part of me, and this is me speaking on my own experience now, right? I got to that level and I was like, oh snap, we're gonna jump into some of these paintings, and that didn't happen.
Yeah, I'm with you.
You know, what if Mario Odyssey 2 is Mario 64 or Mario 128? Like, what if you take the mechanics of Mario Odyssey and just take that game and just recreate Mario Odyssey's vision of Mario 64? Like, come on. Give it to me.
Yeah, you know, I'll take whatever Mario I can get, you know? Two things I want to say. One, people in the chat are calling out that I said that this Mario in 4K, like, just put that on Switch. Obviously, I mean in 1080. But like, if there's a take the 4K version,
the highest res version.
Yeah, the highest res. That's all you need, because the art style's there. They nailed it. And Jeff Grubb tweets at me and he says the Elite Series 2 is noticeably heavier, and a lot of that is spread throughout the middle of the chassis in the Elite. Balance is better in the X/S. The grip is similar, but the gamepad grip feels slightly more plasticky.
Man, shout out to Jeffy Grubb.
Killing the game, man. Shout out to all the work. I know he's been doing a lot of shit. Dude, he had the 3080 review and then this.
Oh my God.
Pretty much back to back week. Yeah. So
I mean, same with Michael, my roommate, and like living with him, like seeing how much work he's putting in to review like these big pieces of hardware. It's a lot of work. Like my dude, this guy is playing games nonstop. And so shout out to y'all who are reviewing these big pieces of hardware. I'm looking at you, Jeff Grubb, and I'm looking at you, Michael Hyam, putting in God's work. Let's get into story number three. A Resident Evil Netflix show is incoming. This is Matt Perslow at IGN. A new Netflix show, Resident Evil Infinite Darkness, has been announced at Tokyo Game Show 2020. As part of the Capcom TGS Live 2020 stream, the show's executive producer, Hiroyuki Kobayashi, announced Resident Evil Infinite Darkness, which is a CGI episodic series coming to Netflix in 2021. An episodic series. I feel like that's very redundant, but to move on. The show features Leon S. Kennedy and Claire Redfield as its lead characters, but nothing is known of the story or setting so far. The only thing that is not a mystery is that Leon and Claire both have new looks. Mr. Kennedy is sporting a suit, while Claire has a refreshed version of her classic red jacket. Tim, did you see this pop up in news over the weekend?
Yeah, I did. I was like kind of following the saga to try to see if they showed more village stuff, but it seems like there was no new info. It was all just the same things we've seen before. But this is kind of exciting. I'm interested if this is taking the place of the live action Resident Evil Netflix thing that was supposedly happening, but yeah. Was always one of those weird, like, is it not? Like, who knows? This is also interesting that it is a series, not just a one-off movie, because they've been doing these Resident Evil CG movies for over a decade. Like I forget the name of all of them, but like Degradation, I think was one. I want to say Extinction, but that might be wrong. Regardless, like they were always fun, and it kind of like took the Resident Evil world and fleshed it out a bit more. And like they had some real dumb moments, but you know, it's Resident Evil. It's kind of what it does. But I've always enjoyed that. I don't know that I necessarily care about this. Like, I don't know that like this would get me to watch it.
Are you not I know there's been like plenty of Resident Evil movies and stuff. Is that not your bag? Do you not enjoy the like watching Resident Evil?
In theory it should be, but they just haven't really nailed it for me. Like the Resident Evil live action movies that exist, I've only seen the first one a long time ago, and I just never kept going down that path. I'm sure one day we'll do it for in review, just for the fuck of it, of making fun of bad movies. But the CG movies I'm talking about, those are a lot more fun. But I have the same problem with those movies and what this series is probably going to be that I do with the later Resident Evil games. Is shit just got so crazy and so big. Like back RE1, 2, and 3, and like 0 even, were like contained enough around Raccoon City and around the things going on there that like the world wasn't blown up and where all these characters are doing a million different things. Once you add like 4 is an amazing game and add some great elements, but then 5, 6, you start getting nuts. 7 and 8 now are looking even crazier in a different direction. Like it's just been pulled in so many different ways that I would be way more interested if this series was like a retelling of the first couple games. But instead it feels like it's going to be just, what have Claire and Leon been up to in the last how many years or whatever? It's like, I don't fucking know. And I wonder if like this is going to be able to grab new viewers at all, or is it only going to be the hardest of hardcore fans watching this?
Yeah. I'm always very fascinated by the power of Resident Evil to like be this multi media franchise, right? Where obviously it's a huge video game franchise, but the fact that it's consistently been on I was gonna say the big screen, but I don't know if the Resident Evil movies came out in theaters or their direct video or whatever. I guess kindoffunny.com/ you're wrong.
The CG ones?
Any of them.
Wait, the Mila Jovovich movies?
Yeah.
Bless. Yeah, those are theater movies.
Were they? Okay, I've not been paying attention to them. But like I don't know, for Resident Evil, I've just found it very impressive that consistently they've been churning these things out and like finding different ways to like get people in. So shout out to that. I'm personally not going to watch it just because it's not my bag. But like, I don't know, kind of if what I'd want from a Resident Evil thing that would get me in on the movie side would be probably like what they did with Castlevania, like an anime 6-episode thing that is a contained thing. You know, I'd love for something like that. But every time they put out something that's Resident Evil, I'm just like, this doesn't seem like it's aimed for me. Like, this seems like it's aimed for fans, which is awesome for fans. But I don't know, Tim. Story number 4, Farmville is shutting down at the end of the year. And to be clear, this is Farmville 1 specifically. This isn't Farmville 2 or the upcoming Farmville 3. This is from Zynga, their support page. They posted a blog post. Following an incredible 11 years since its initial launch back in 2009, we're officially announcing the closure of the original Farmville game on Facebook. As previously stated, Adobe will stop distributing and updating Flash Player for all web browsers, and Facebook will stop supporting Flash games on the platform completely after December 31st, 2020. Farmville will therefore be directly affected as a result of this. Tim?
Yeah.
Reading this news story, I was thrown off by so many things.
Yeah.
One, that Flash games, like, were still a thing. Like, I think somewhere in my mind, I just stopped processing Flash games as existing because I used to love them back in the day. Well, like, I can't remember the last time somebody was like, oh, yeah, I'm playing this Flash game. The fact that Farmville is still on Facebook, I probably should have known this, but it comes back to like the, oh, yeah, who plays games on Facebook anymore? Like, who's doing that? But yeah, like, this is big, obviously, because Farmville has always been this huge thing since this launch, right? Mm-hmm. It was like one of the biggest, if not the biggest Facebook game. One of the biggest, if not the biggest Flash game. It led to Zynga's success as a company. Like, Farmville's been all these different things. And so it's kind of an end of an era.
They must have watched Games Daily last week and they were so upset about our lack of knowledge of farms that they were like, I guess we're like, out.
Fuck it. The gamers aren't. the gamers don't care about farms the way we thought they did.
Here's the thing, though, man. This is absolutely crazy news because when I worked at IGN, like, for the 5 years that I was there, like, Farmville and these type of games were talked about so much because there was this just giant pit of games being played that included things like Farmville, that included things like MOBAs, like Dota or League of Legends, that have now kind of gotten a bit more into the mainstream like world. But even still, it's like it's a very different audience than the people that are typically going to an IGN to look at previews of games or whatever. And there was always this like desire to tap into these markets. And it's just crazy to look at it where Farmville was the biggest thing. Zynga was the biggest fucking thing. And now it's like, oh, it's not, you know? And like, then when Minecraft was first blowing up, it's like that kind of came out of nowhere. And it's just interesting to look back now that like I've been in the industry long enough to see there's been probably 10, 15 games that are these like giant moment, like PUBG being this moment, right? Fortnite somehow eclipsing that times a million. And it's like weird to think that one day Fortnite might be being read in a news story that we're talking about right now. Right?
Yeah.
Where it's like, oh yeah, Fortnite shut down after whatever. And there's going to be, you know, Blessing and Tim 2.0 being like, yeah, it's crazy. I didn't know people were still playing Fortnite.
Yeah, it's like, wow, man, Fortnite did all these things and all of a sudden it's gone. But yeah, no, like
there's going to be, Blessing and Tim 2.0 that are going to be sitting there and being like, man, remember during that whole pandemic thing, we used to hang out in Fortnite?
Crazy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hopefully that's the case.
Dude, 10 years from now is going to be wild. Mm-hmm. Hopefully that's, and that's also another thing, right? Hopefully that's the case, that's the conversation we're having, as opposed to like, the aliens are invading. Everything just got worse and worse and worse. Tim, I'm really excited to see what happens with Blessing 2.0 and Tim 2.0 10 years from now. Mm-hmm. But 10 years? So far away. If I want to know what's coming out to mom and pop shops today, where would I look?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform is listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show host each and every weekday.
Yeah. Out today, we got Undead Darlings, No Cure for Love for Switch, PC, and Mac. Kevin, I'm going to need to know what Undead Darlings
are for Love. Undead Darlings updates.
I need some Undead Darlings updates. Genshin Impact is out today for PS4, PC, iOS, and Android. Panzer Dragoon Remake is out today for PS4. Is that true? I didn't realize that was happening. Emery Noko is out today for PC and Mac. And then Stars Force is out today for PC. New dates for you. Yakuza Like a Dragon is now set to launch on Xbox Series X and S, PS4, and PC on November 10th. And that's instead of November 13th. It is also coming to PS5 on March 2nd, 2021, with a free upgrade for PS4 players. And then Atelier Ryza 2 will release on the PS5 on December 3rd. Space Shuttle VR is coming to Oculus Go on October 1st. Shoot 1-Up DX is coming to Nintendo Switch on October 15th. And then Pokemon announced on Twitter new information on Pokemon Sword and Shields. The Crown Tundra DLC will be revealed tomorrow. Kevin, this is Undead Darlings?
It looks exactly like you'd expect.
Really? Can you rewind it? I missed the whole thing real quick. Rated T.
They're undead.
Their sexual themes. Okay, well, yeah, those are definitely darlings.
Mm-hmm. There is no cure for love, though, man.
Was the kid's right. name something Dickskin?
So wait, really?
No, Ben. Some right? Did you see his name flashed for like a second, Tim? Did you see
it? No, I missed that.
No, I didn't see it.
All right.
It is a visual novel That also seems to be a dungeon crawler.
Why not? You know?
Yeah. You know what? In a different world, I could be digging this.
Okay. Okay. You know?
And like, you know, current blessing Diskin. That exists in this timeline. Diskin.
Diskin.
Yeah. Diskin. Not Diskin.
God, Kevin. God.
You can see where I could make the mistake, though. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. The current blessing that exists in this timeline, right? Earth 1, the Earth that we're living in right now, 2020, is not really digging the Undead Darlings. Like, or I'm not even saying not digging it. Not going to play Undead Darlings, you know? Yeah, has a passive interest in Undead Darlings. Earth 2 bless, you know, in a different timeline, sees that and goes, mm-hmm. Let's download that. Let's see what that's about. Let's go. Well, there's just too many games that I'm playing right now. They need to find love from Undead Darlings. Now it is time. For reader mail, you can write into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames where you can get the show ad free. And speaking of ads, this episode of Kind of Funny Games Daily is brought to you by Upstart. During these economically turbulent times, everyone is looking for a way to feel more financially secure. So if you're still needlessly throwing money every month at high interest credit card debt, it's time you checked out Upstart, the revolutionary online lending platform that knows you're more than just a credit score. Now is the time to find out how low your Upstart rate can be to help pay off high interest credit card debt. Unlike other lenders, Upstart can reward you based on your education and job history in the form of a smarter rate. You don't need a degree or diploma to apply, though. Upstart lets you skip going to the bank because it's completely online. They offer loans from $1,000 to $50,000, so you can consolidate your debt into one easy fixed rate payment. Upstart makes it fast and simple to check your rate. Since it's just a soft pull, it won't affect your credit score. The hard pull happens if you accept your rate and proceed with your application. The best part, if the loan is approved and accepted, most people get their funds the very next business day. Over 400,000 people have used Upstart to pay off credit cards or meet their financial goals. Free yourself from the burden of high interest credit card debt and get back to using your money your way with Upstart. See why Upstart has a 4.9 out of 5 rating on Trustpilot, and hurry up to upstart.com/kfgames to find out how low your Upstart rate can be. Checking your rate only takes a few minutes. That's upstart.com/kfgames. Your loan will be determined based on your credit, income, and certain other information provided in your loan application. Not all applicants will qualify for the full amount. We're also brought to you by Hims. 4hims.com is all about men's wellness. We all know the story well. Andy and Nick wanted to maintain their own wellness, so they looked to Hims for help keeping their hair full and healthy. We can confirm they've been loving it ever since. Through Hims, you can get the prescription medication that treats erectile dysfunction. Real science, real solutions. This could cost hundreds of bucks if you had to go through a doctor or pharmacy. Not so with Hims. Hims makes it simple and affordable. No embarrassing conversations, no expensive appointments. Just answer a few questions online about your medical history and a provider will confidentially review. If approved, your medication is shipped directly to your door in discreet packaging, and shipping is free. No more searching online for answers to questions about erectile dysfunction or sexual wellness. Just go to your Hims account and ask a medical professional you can trust. Try Hims today by starting out with a free online visit. Go to 4hims.com/gamesdaily for your free visit. That's 4hims.com/gamesdaily. forhims.com/gamesdaily. Prescription products are subject to medical provider approval and require an online consultation with a medical provider who will determine if a prescription is appropriate. See website for full details and safety information. Remember, that's 4hims.com/gamesdaily. Lastly, we're brought to you by Logitech. Logitech has been my go-to for a long time when it comes to gaming headsets. You've heard me talk about it for weeks now, and I'm talking about it again. The Pro X Wireless Lightspeed Gaming Headset is a game changer. Based on the award-winning Pro Gaming Headset design, Pro X Wireless Headset features high-quality materials, advanced communications, precision audio, and total wireless freedom. It's a high-performance Pro X gaming headset with Lightspeed wireless technology and up to 20-plus hours of battery life. It also features a detachable pro-grade microphone featuring real-time Blue Voice technology, including passive noise isolation, compressor, limiter, and more for clean, professional voice comms. It doesn't stop there, as there's also the advanced Pro-G 50mm drivers, which deliver clear and precise sound imaging with improved bass response. Hear footsteps and environmental cues with clarity to give you the competitive advantage. You can also experience this headset's supreme comfort and durability. For a limited time, Logitech G is offering our listeners 10% off select products at LogitechG.com. Use code KFGAMES for 10% off today. That's 10% off select Logitech G products with promo code KFGAMES. Tim,
mm-hmm.
I got a question from Gondor's Condor, who writes into patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, just like you can, and says, greetings, blessing, and Tim. I have a question primarily for Tim. Mm. Tomorrow, we're getting our first look at the second Pokemon DLC, the Crown Tundra. Like the Isle of Armor, it'll bring around 100 Pokemon into the current gen. What is the one Pokemon you want the most, and which generation do you hope gets the most love? Thanks for all you do, Game Daily.
I've been out for so long, and I haven't even seen, like, I didn't play the first DLC, so I don't even really know who they brought back in. But I'm a Gen 2 boy, so I'm not sure if my boy Cyndaquil and that whole evolution line's in here yet. But that would be my answer if he's not in yet.
Yeah, I haven't touched Pokemon Sword since launch, because I beat it, and I think I bounced after that.
Yeah, I did too.
Yeah, and so like do you think you're gonna jump into the DLC? Like I wanted to jump into the last one, but like I think time just got away. Or you know what happened? Last is Part Two release.
I mean, right? I think that's the thing when it comes to these type of DLCs, like for that type of game, it's a great idea, but I just think that there's a level of consistency and timing that needs to happen, or else it's hard to get excited about old things, even if they're new, right? So it's like I feel like Pokemon has yet to kind of prove that there is a zeitgeist around these DLC launches. And if they were like hitting like, oh, every 3 months, there's this thing that everyone's going to be doing. I feel like Animal Crossing's done a better job than Pokemon has, at least in gaining interest of the people around me. But we'll see. I'm happy it's happening, though, because I think that it is a sign that Pokemon's going in the right direction. Because I do think that the game needs to be a little bit more living and breathing than it ever has been before.
That's kind of been my thing when it comes to these post-launch updates for Pokemon also. I think it's a beautiful, beautiful idea for them to be like, all right, yeah, let's put out these big expansion packs, you know, as opposed to doing a... like I'm very much assuming right now that this is opposed to doing like a Pokemon Spear or Pokemon Arrow or whatever like the third iteration would be, right? Like this seems to be in replacement to that, which I think is more of a modern take on Pokemon. I think it could lend more toward people playing Pokemon like a living and breathing game. Like the community is out there for sure, and like there are people who are always gonna be playing Pokemon, obviously. But you know, I think for Pokemon you want to expand that, like you want to build that out, you want more people to feel like they're able to play Pokemon like they play a Destiny. And that's not necessarily me saying that Pokemon should be Destiny, but I think there are so many different ideas you can take from live service games that would work well for a Pokemon. And so like, you know, having the game come out in November and then following it up following up in June. Also, like, it's blowing my mind that Pokemon Sword came out in November. It feels like that game came out 2 years ago. but yeah, following it up 7 months later feels way too late, you know, for people who have already put the game down and aren't necessarily going to be persuaded to pick it back up based on expansion coming out 7 months after they've already had their time with it, right? Like I feel like a monthly, like some sort of monthly update that could be a bit smaller in increments, but then, you know, leads into a here's your big 6 month expansion that has been that has been built up towards based on all these other updates, could maybe lend towards more of a better flow for people to want to come back and want to experience. You know, I feel like this to me feels like a dirty word, but I'm gonna say it anyway. Like adding in some sort of like dailies to Pokemon, kindoffunny.com/ you're wrong if they have that, or if they don't have that. I assume that they don't have that in there. But like, you know, what can that do for the game, and what can that do for people who want to hold on to that experience? I think there's something there, and I think they're trying to build towards that, but it's also one of those things that we'll see. Like, Tim, for you, what do you think the end goal should be for Pokemon? Like, what is the end goal you see for making that game ideal?
I mean, that's the thing, is like they're going to continue just doing what they're doing, iterating little by little over time. And like, when you compare where we're at to where we were, there has been a lot of changes. You know, it's like, it's easy to look at it and be like, oh, it's the same game. It's like, well, it's not. Like, there's really been a lot of iteration over time. But I do think that the idea of that big Pokemon MMO where you're actually going around through multiple regions and all of that, like, yeah, that would be the goal. That would be awesome. I don't know that we're ever going to get there, because I think that needs to be created from the ground up instead of trying to shoehorn it into the existing template for what Pokemon is. And I think that that's where we're at with Pokemon Sword and Shield, which is like taking ideas of raids and the ideas of, you know, kind of making it this like bigger, more non-linear experience.
Yeah, like the wild area and what that did for that game.
Exactly. It's like that's proof of them dabbling, but I don't know that they're ever going to go full in, which means that it's never going to be that full experience that we're looking for there. But I don't know. Pokemon's a weird one because it's one of those, if it ain't broke, don't fix it things. And a lot of us can look at it and be like, oh, it's broken though. But they're like, yeah, but the money speaks. So
yeah, that's the thing, is like Pokemon still makes so much money that like how much is it worth them investing, building something from the ground up when what they're doing right now is making them so much money? But on the flip side though, like Pokemon is so good about creating these different experiences. Like we just got a Pokemon MOBA announced a couple months ago that I forgot about. Pokemon Sleep still exists somewhere out there, you know, and I'm sure it's gonna release eventually if it's not already come out and I just missed it. But like I could see there being a case where they're like, all right, yeah, Pokemon, let's treat Pokemon Sword and Shield the way we're treating it, and let's treat our mainline games like this, right, where it is you're gonna get your big expansions maybe once or twice a year. But then on the side here, let's work on a Pokemon MMO that is what we're talking about as far as like the continual updates. I don't know if that all kind of comes back to where their heads are at in terms of how they want to monetize, obviously. But I think I think there's something there in terms of the best of both worlds, or the best of all the worlds of Pokemon here. But we'll have to wait and see. I got one more question here from Jason, who writes in and says, with more and more games seemingly choosing to include a performance mode, will be your preferred way to play next-gen games, 30fps/4K or 60fps/1440p? Would this change depending on the type of TV you have? I feel like this is a very Tim Gettys question.
It is. And honestly, there's so many things it's going to depend on. When we're looking at current-gen and the experiences of what we've had, I've typically went with the resolution option over the performance option because...
How dare you?
I know it's crazy, but that's it's disgusting. But the difference that I've seen and I've experienced in the games that I'm playing, it doesn't seem to matter that much. And it's like the visual enhancements are there. So I'm like, all right, I'd rather have it look nicer than have it. It's like, I don't even notice it feeling better. To jump to next gen, when we're talking about like, it is actually going to be 60 plus frames per second, I think that at that point, it makes total sense to make that jump. And depending on where I'm playing and what system I'm on or whatever it is, like when I'm playing stuff on my PC, it's going to be like, I want 1440p, 60 plus, whatever frame per second we're going at. But there are just certain games where it's just like, when you're playing on an LG OLED, they're beautiful. You want that 4K.
Yeah.
And it's going to look awesome. And it does look awesome. And you can see the difference. But that's just a personal thing. And I know that a lot of people are like, oh, man, it's only performance mode. You're crazy if you go anywhere else. And it's like, yeah, well, there's been a couple games where performance modes run worse than the resolution one. Look at you, Avengers.
Damn, shots fired. I'm definitely in the camp of people who I'm probably always going to go performance, but I'm also somebody who's not had a setup that would benefit from resolution mode. Like I'm not really I'm not part of the 4K army, right? Like I'm not yes, there as far now. As I mean I have a 4K TV now with a PS4 Pro, and I've been playing on it. Funny one.
Then you're part of the army.
I mean, yeah, I've borrowed the Kind of Funny 4K TV, and like I've been playing on it, and like the games are beautiful, but I'm not necessarily. I think I would always prefer performance still. Like I feel like performance is something that I notice more than actual resolution. Like for me, playing on the TV I have in the living room now, I'm like, oh yeah, these games look better, but it's also like a bigger screen, and so it's one of those things where I'm like, I feel like it things would look better either way playing on a TV that's way bigger than this TV that I got back here. Whereas performance is something that, like, the jump from 30 FPS to 60 FPS is something that I always notice. And then, like, if you're telling me that I can jump from 60 FPS to, like, 120, that sounds like an amazing time. That sounds life-changing.
I think it's to the combination of all of it, man. It's the HDR technologies. It is the resolution bump. And, the performance stuff. It's like games look better when they feel smoother. It's just like that's just how it works. Like, all of it adds together to be an experience. And, like, that is what graphics means these days, right? It's not just one element of it. If it's all the stuff together, and depending on the game that you're playing.
Yeah, and the fact that we're able to have that choice from between, hey, do you want to play this thing in 60 FPS at 1440p, which sounds incredible, versus 4K at 30 FPS, which still sounds incredible. Like, we're living in a fantastic world right now, and like, yeah, things are just going to get more and more better from there in terms of technology and you know, frame rates and resolution going up.
Which, yeah, I'm personally very excited about. In my opinion, to clarify what I was saying earlier about my preference, we're talking usually about the difference between 1080 and 4K when we're talking about the resolution bump. And like, to me, that sometimes I'm like, I'd take that over performance. But when we're talking about 1440 versus 4K, that's when I'm like, all right, I'm going to go with performance, because the trade-off there is totally worth it.
Now it's time to squad up. Brandon H writes in with a squad up on Xbox and says, Xbox buying Bethesda was the straw that finally made me subscribe to Game Pass. I've never been on the Xbox ecosystem and would love any friends to play with. I'm down for any multiplayer games, and I'm especially looking forward to Destiny Beyond Light. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to play Destiny Beyond Light or any Xbox multiplayer games with Brandon H, you can add him at Prophet GK. That is Prophet spelled PROPHETGK, all one word, on Xbox. Go and do the Beyond Light thing. I don't know if there's like a Destiny sign off or there's like a Destiny. I'm sure Destiny has like one of those, like, you know, may the force be with you kind of things. I don't know what that is.
It's something about Guardians. I remember Fran used to say it.
Yeah. May the light. Oh, wait, no. May the
light be with you. be your guiding key.
It has to be like a travel, like a, kindoffunny.com/ you're wrong if there is something like that, because now I'm putting pieces
Andy
together.
Says eyes up about guardian Destiny. That sounds
eyes
right.
Up guardian,
that's it. That
eyes
is
up
it.
Guardian,
yeah,
guardians out is what Kebab says in kindoffunny.com/ you're wrong. Of course, now it's time for kindoffunny.com/ you're wrong, where you write in, let us know what we got wrong during the show as we got it wrong, so we can correct ourselves for those watching later on youtube.com so it's kind of funny games and on podcast services around the globe. A lot of people here are debating on Pen 15 versus Penis, which I respect, but maybe do that in the chat.
But it just sounds weird to be like, oh man, you guys got to watch Penis, but it's spelled 1-5 at the end. You know what I mean? Like, that's a little bit more explanation, and it sounds like I'm recommending weird, like, not weird porn, but like, I mean, I don't know, the porn is called Penis. I feel like it's weird porn.
You know what I mean? You don't go to Pornhub and just type in Penis and see what happens?
I mean, I do that to a lot of shit, but not Penis. No.
I'd be typing in love to see what comes
up.
Yeah,
no, you know? Everyone types in love, because sometimes that's what you need, you know, a little warm.
Sometimes it's like, I just want to watch people hugging. Nanobiologist writes in and says, the Resident Evil movie names are Resident Evil, Resident Evil Apocalypse, Resident Evil Extinction, Resident Evil Afterlife, Resident Evil Retribution, and Resident Evil Final Chapter.
I was asking what the CG movies are. But thank you. Nanobiologist. I swear one was called Degradation. Degeneration.
Degeneration X.
Yeah. Wow. That's what it was.
All right. People are correcting Tim's pronunciation of Mila.
Jovakovic. I don't know, man. Jovakovic.
What was the thing about her name that I thought was wrong?
Jovovich.
Where I thought it was like one name or something.
Yeah. Kevin thought that her first name was her full name.
BTM here says they don't have dailies, but they have weekly rotations in the raids. Crown Tundra is adding a bunch of raids, some of which should be limited. So I appreciate that. And then one more Rocket Guardian here writes in and says, per Audacia ad Astra is a major slogan from Bungie for Destiny. And so there you go. Per Audacia ad Astra. Ladies and gentlemen,
Hyper Games says it's Degeneration, Damnation, and Vendetta are the three CGI films.
There you go. Ladies and gentlemen, this week's host for Kinda Funny Games Daily go like this. Tomorrow, it's me and Imran. Wednesday, it's Greg and Gary Witta. Thursday, it's Greg and Tim. And then Friday, it's Greg and me. Of course, this has been Kinda Funny Games Daily, each and every weekday, live right here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. We run you through the nerdy news you need to know about. We have a Patreon post show for those that are subbed at the silver level of patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. So stick around for that. Otherwise, until next time, Game Daily.